Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Hey, welcome to Heritage Radio Network On Tour. I am Jenny Goodman, and today we are broadcasting live from Charleston Wine and Food. We want to thank the Julia Child Foundation for making our coverage possible, and to Charleston Wine and Food Festival for having HRN down here for the fifth year in a row. Yeah. So, welcome to season three of Opening Soon. This is episode number 34, and we are live from the Charleston Wine and Food Festival. And today we're going to talk about how you create a unique and beautiful space that makes your guest seamless, that communicates to your guests seamlessly your brand. And I have some experts here with us. So our guests today are pros at creating that third place with all the right vibes. It's Ben and Kate Towell of Basic Projects and Basic Kitchen here in Charleston. They are known for creating the kind of spaces that are warm and welcoming and make you want to hang out all day, which the Heritage, just a little anecdote here, the Heritage Radio welcome party was there, and everybody was like, the space is amazing. We didn't want to leave. So
they had a blast.
Yeah, the station is fans. And they managed to do this without it feeling contrived, because there's so many spaces these days that are like, okay, you worked so hard to make it seem effortlessly, and you guys have really nailed that. So we first caught up with you guys at the end of January. And if I don't know if you remember, but basically you had rough-ins in, and you were about to start putting in furniture in the rooms. Yeah. And then Kate's laughing, so we're about to hear if that actually happened. And they were planning to open rooms on March 1st, and we're March 7th, so... What's the latest? Did that happen?
Well, we're a few weeks delayed on that, but it's all going to be for a good reason, because we're headed off to Round Top, the antique show in Texas.
Oh.
So it gave us some time to fill in some blank spots, and then we'll be just a few weeks delayed, but it's all going to be happening for a reason.
I mean, if you open within 3 months, you're on time.
We're on time for the opening.
Yeah,
we got April 23rd was the opening. We wanted to have the rooms ready for the March 1st date. So we're still on target for April 23rd. We'll just be a mad dash like it always is.
Yeah.
So what do you get? So last time we talked, you guys had already been to Brimfield, and Kate and her brother literally drove down 16 hours from
Massachusetts. I believe that was right, yeah.
So why the trip back to the antiques show?
Do you know, well, we have a few other projects coming up too that it'll be great to shop for, but... I mean, we just kind of can't resist.
Yeah, I think you were saying in the intro, one of the things is to try and make something not feel forced. And so mm-hmm. if you plan all the best planning in the world, you then, like, the space starts to come alive. I mean, you know, we've been working on this for 2 years, and it comes down to that last, like, 2 months, and you start living in it just like it's your house, and you're like, oh, that was a great idea on paper, or it looked great in CAD. It doesn't fit. And so, you know, we're just big believers that, like, all the planning in the world, but then that last couple of months, just like, go explore, find something, change it around, don't be too rigid, and you can always use something inevitably. I mean, at Basic Kitchen this morning, we just like rearranged the tables for like the 19th millionth time. It's been open for 2.5 years, so I everyone thinks we're crazy.
What do you do to make it feel like you've lived in it? So, like, I mean, I think that's a really hard thing to do when something's a construction site. Like, yeah. Are there things you guys actually do to, like, try to experience it like a guest during that construction phase?
Yeah, I would say with that, it really, the base layer has to be, you know, has to be able to take a lot of wear and tear, right? That's number one. And then, so I've come from a set design background. And we called it the top layer. So that top layer that you just come through, and it's some frames and a little lamp there, and then like a little piece of fabric hanging over this. And that definitely has a feeling of a home versus something, like Ben said, everything perfectly mapped out on CAD. And, you know, and that just, it is harder probably the way we do it, but I believe it does have a more effortless feel.
Yeah, one of the things that we have noticed, everyone wants to replicate stuff in the sort of time that we're living. It's like, if something's a good idea, can you do 100 of them? Can you do 20 of them? Can you do 5 of them? And I really just feel that the reason someone wants to do that is because it's just that unique nature of, like, and I don't know how you quantify that feeling. And I think one of the questions you're asking is, if you keep walking the space and just imagining, I try to imagine Monday evening in February, and then Friday night in June. Like, what does this place feel like in those two times? And we just keep walking it every morning. You just walk and think of those two times. Yeah. And then you start filling in the blanks. Like, oh, what's going to feel like if there's six people here and seven people there? And you got a walk-in 20 top or a bridal shower or a birthday. And, like, just keep playing these scenarios and then moving
stuff. We always say Ben is devil's advocate. And, like, it can be the most annoying sometimes. But I'm always so happy in the end. It's not right. We got to do it again. I'm like, are you kidding me? But... He definitely envisions it and walks it more than I do, which is why we're a good team.
You guys have done, but you know when you do the personality test in your company and you
have... Oh, yes. And wait, which personality are you, Ben?
I'm a debater.
I mean, you guess? I'm the...
what are you?
Yeah, what is the... It starts to... I'm the same one as Obama. Just that's all I know. What was it again?
Were you the complimentary skill sets at least?
Probably. Yeah. I wish I remember it.
Yeah, forceful leaders. I think what you ended up saying. Something like that.
Oh my God, I love it. And so, like, as you iterate on spaces and change things, like, how does that impact the rest of the design? Are you just always iterating and sort of like moving?
Yeah, I think it keeps it really relevant, and it's important to do that, to change it and to go in and every few months, change it up. That's definitely something we keep our eyes on.
Yeah, and stuff like the heritage, like stuff like Wine and Food, we're doing a bunch of events, and it suddenly like makes you take a kind of look and say, oh, have we done stuff since last year? What's the place feeling like? And like, what do we need to change? And what table am I not loving? Like, I think you've just got to constantly like look at a space, just like you do in your house. You're like sitting in your house like, oh, I need a change. This feels like...
Hence the rearranging of the furniture at Basic Kitchen last week.
Always. Exactly. This morning.
Do you ever have guests come in and be like, but I loved table number 19. Why did you move that?
No, they're normally like, I hate table 19. I'm so glad you moved it. No, I think it's not like a big thing that people notice. I think it's that subtle stuff that you're growing and you're evolving and you're defining who you are as a brand. And like, it's those pieces in that journey that makes a brand authentic. So, you know, we've done these amazing events over the last year with the city of Charleston. We do something called the Salad Project, and where we give all the money from the 6 weeks of sales from different salads designed by Charleston chefs to the Green Heart Foundation. And like, we have these beautiful posters. So like, you get those framed, and then they need to go somewhere. So suddenly the walls are getting too busy, and Kate's like, what are you doing?
Like, dial it back.
Stuff like that.
Edit.
It was this morning, yeah.
That's so funny. So last time we talked, we also talked about like your three core principles, and they were, remind me, it was pattern.
Yeah.
Authentic, and casual.
Casual, yep.
So pattern, authentic, and casual. And has anything changed, or has there like been one that's been like harder to nail since we've last spoken? Ben's giggling, so I feel like something maybe.
Yes, I know why he's giggling. Because, well, patterned is a good one because like, we were picking out the drapes for the private dining space, and I originally had like this like very toothy linen, and he was like, no, we have to stick with a pattern, like a rose, it's going to be called the Rose Room. We have to stick with a pattern. And I was like, all right, you're right.
Linen is not a pattern.
Linen is not a pattern. Yeah, I'm like, it's so simple. He's like, no. So that was helpful.
And we've spent weeks and weeks looking for this fabric.
We have.
Which is in budget and looks, and you like it. I mean, that was the challenge, like, it's easy to go and like spend a fortune, find whatever fabric, but if you're like really strict with what you want, Kate's like looking at 30, 40 fabrics and then trying to find something in this.
Yeah.
Again, with this set design background, sometimes it just comes like just something that makes you have a feeling of a space. It's not the actual, you don't like get up close and look at that fabric, but if it feels something old and... Yeah, that's something to keep in mind.
Something like a little old and musty and like
a little
the
grandma.
Right way.
Exactly.
You're spending time in that room. I said to Kate, like, you're spending time in that room. Normally it's in the evening that it'll be there, and you're probably spending 2.5 hours in that room. It's not like you're living with it. It's not your bedroom curtains.
Every day.
It's
like, yeah.
It's this feeling.
More of a set. Like,
So do you guys actually, like, if that's, so it sounds like you have a thought about each room and how long people are spending in it. Do you go and, like, sit in those rooms for that amount of time and, like,
check it out? I definitely think you keep in mind that downstairs will be, like, a fun, rowdy situation. Private dining space will be a blast. But the rooms, I really wanted to keep, like, calming, and you kind of go and close your door and It's just, I think it's always better to go simple and less is more in a bedroom, in a hotel bedroom.
In a hotel bedroom. So furniture is going in.
Yes, we have it. Our new date is April 6th. But actually, it's all worked out for the better. We just didn't hold to our, like, strict deadline.
Yeah, and the furniture is coming from everywhere. So lights from England and from all over the U.S., different light makers.
We even have a Murano, Italy. We got these awesome glass chandeliers custom made, which is so cool. I'm psyched.
Yeah, those coming. Furniture, we've got some stuff being made up in New York. Stuff being made down here. So everything, I mean, our office is just like drowning in boxes. Everyone.
What do you do? Like, do you have like a storage unit? Like,
multiple.
What do you do? Like, you have a secret storage unit, I know, that Ben isn't allowed to look in with all of your antiques
behind. Haven't you? We do. We have a few storage units. We have a guy that basically has a loading dock, so he'll take the bigger things like the beds and the sofas, stuff like that. But yes, multiple units.
When I met Kate, she was working as a set decorator. And she drove a Ford pickup, and she actually picked me up on our first date. And
in her pickup truck?
And I thought...
In New York City?
She's the coolest guy.
We went to Vinegar Hill in... is it still there? Yeah.
It is still there.
Yeah.
Dumbo.
Yeah, it was great. And so she still has a pickup truck. And this is the only time I'm like, I'm glad you have it.
I'm glad you have a pickup truck.
Oh, it's so good.
And then the restaurant... So basically, it's a tavern and an inn.
Yep.
And the restaurant is... scheduled to open
April 23rd. Love you guys to come to the party.
Yeah, it's gonna be a party.
Yeah, that's exciting. All right, so this is the first time you're doing an inn, right? So any nervousness about basically opening two businesses at once?
Well, we have what we call an apartment hotel in Savannah, so we have 18 bedrooms there above the Fat Radish restaurant.
Oh, right, in Chelsea, that just opened.
That's in Savannah,
Georgia.
Oh, in
Savannah.
We have one down there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we've made a lot of mistakes down there, so we'll hopefully limit the mistakes we make up here. But I always think that's a different experience, and it's seven rooms. The restaurant always makes me more nervous than the seven rooms.
Are there any examples of some lessons you've learned from Savannah that you've like already made improvements in how you're going to do it here?
Get really good pillows. Like, don't
just pillows.
Pillows. Interesting.
Oh my God. Yeah.
No.
The bedding has to be really good.
Yeah, I think.
Like, you don't notice when it's really good, or you do, but you notice when it's bad. You know, and that's a big. That's a big thing.
I think the hotel, it's again at that time you spend that relationship you have with a hotel room.
Yeah.
And how different that is to the restaurant world. And yeah, just like products and bathroom and how things wear in a hotel. And I think we've done things slightly differently this time.
So, Ben, you said that the restaurant makes you more nervous than the hotel. Like, can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, I think a restaurant is just starting. Your sort of, it's this idea that's coming to life. We never really have, our restaurants don't have one particular like theme. They're not a Southern Italian, or it's not this is a seasonal like coastal tavern, if we like.
But that's part of the charm. I think that's why people like it.
Right. So we have to create these. We have to create these sort of parameters to work within ourselves. And I find that, like, once we're there, but it's getting those in those parameters and everyone feeling comfortable and inspired in that sort of area. So that's what I find the hardest. And but we'll see.
Do you find that the space drives some of these, like, decisions and, like, the food and the vibe?
And the neighborhood all of that. And, like, we really have... And as we build stuff, we talk to all the neighbors. We show them around. We host, like, cocktail parties in the construction site and talk to people.
You've already been doing that?
Yeah.
We've done it, yeah.
And so
I feel like the biggest thing I learned is we have to have a TV at the bar, which is fantastic, and I'm making it happen.
And
you want a TV at the bar? I think that'd be off-brand.
We've never done it.
No, I don't know if I would say off-brand, but like it's definitely not my like go-to. But I love it because you have to think about a guy or a girl coming to travel by themselves. They want to sit at the bar and have some dinner, having like a game playing, or you know.
It goes to where you are. We've never done it before.
Yeah.
And, but we spoke, we've had all these, like, everyone in, they're like, it's our local pub, essentially, and this is, you're in the South, and college football is enormous, and people want to come in and watch it, and
And so you're cutting yourself off if you just don't have that down here, I guess. Basic Great. Kitchen, it's just like not the right crowd, I guess, for Basic Kitchen, but it'll work for Post House.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think that's really smart to be attuned with your neighborhood. And so is that feedback you got from posting?
Yes, from someone that came in. Yeah, he was like, I just want cold buds and a TV. I was like, you got it, pal. All right.
We'll make it happen.
Are you going to make something like... Is it going to be like enclosed in something cool and antique that you've
got a nice little curtain? Okay. I mean, I've thought it out.
She's vibed it out.
She's like,
I'm ready for it. And I think the last time we talked also, there was like a big bar you had sourced from Brimfield and you were about to install that.
That's right. Yeah, for the private dining space. It fit. Yeah, we actually, not only did it fit, we brought the walls like directly up to it. So that is what's so cool about these antique shows is if you go early, and we have a few other cool big projects coming up, you can find the piece, and then if you're pretty in a good space with construction, you can build it right to your piece. So,
right,
it's nice.
So it wasn't like a worry about like, is this thing that I bought going to fit and it weighs like 5,000 pounds, and how are we going to move it if it doesn't?
No, it's so much better than building that new. It has a different feeling to it, you know?
Yeah, amazing. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I was curious about is last time we spoke, you were going to bring on a consultant starting February 1st.
Oh, yeah, Julian
Yangus. So
like,
it's through your punch list.
Mm-hmm.
And has anything, are they punching away?
I mean, I just say thank you every day.
He's
got the biggest, that has the biggest smile.
No, those guys are amazing. And I think this is just like, just people with restaurants and hospitality, so much of it, you work for 2 years on a thing, and so much depends on the last, you know, 2 months before opening and then 1 month after, where you're just like setting this, you know, this thing in motion. And these guys are just incredible. They're so supportive. They allow us some space to like execute on things, and our staff who are coming on feel supported. And it's really one of the things that
they rented a U-Haul on Friday and picked up like 100
chairs.
They're just going to take care of it. They just get it done.
Yeah.
There's no like, I won't do that.
They'd be great guys to have on your show.
I know.
Yeah.
The gazillion.
Bazillion solutions.
Yeah. Julian and Angus.
Yeah. No, also known as Jangus.
Yeah. And they're just punching away at your list.
Yeah. And they're just that support to everyone. Like if you're doing wine tastings and you're a GM, but you're also doing staff training stuff, they'll organize like all the wine reps to come in, taste, and schedule. It's just like that sort of support that just helps you like focus on the actual putting the list together and not, you know, coordinating 14 different reps.
Yeah. So what steps are left? You guys are, I mean, you're getting pretty close. You're a month out for hotel and 6 weeks for restaurant.
Right.
I think, I mean, just now is like branding going live, the install.
Signage, happenings. Like different, even just signage where the guests go up to their, you know, there's a stairwell just for guests. And then, you know, the water closet signage and all that kind of little stuff.
Activating all the sort of online, just all the online stuff that you, and all the sort of boring POS and getting all that stuff ready. And then start tasting food and getting the kitchen going. And
that's the exciting. Is the kitchen ready? Is it built?
It's built. Kitchen is built. There's no equipment in it.
March 16th delivery.
Yeah.
That's what I know.
March 16th delivery.
Yeah. Still trying to find it. Yeah.
Oh, no. A week before. Oh, so, the so the kitchen has...
Our chef is here. He's arriving.
No, it's a month and a week.
And
for April, yeah.
A month and a week.
Thank
okay, March 16th.
Don't worry.
I was thinking April.
No.
I was like, oh my God, 1 week? That's like restaurant impossible shit.
No. Don't you worry.
No. All right. So that's plenty of time.
Yeah, we'll be good.
Well,
honestly, it's feeling really good.
It's you guys look cool as a cucumber. You're like,
we try.
Ready for it. They are just like ready to open.
Done this before and made pretty much every mistake you can make. So if we go through it all again and make all those mistakes, we at least know that we've made like what that feels like.
I love it. All right, so Post House Tavern and Inn is opening officially April 6th and the 23rd.
April 23rd.
Everything together April 23rd.
Yeah.
Sorry, everything together April 23rd. And anybody else that has recently opened that you want to shout out? Since opening soon, we like to do a little announcement.
Amazing openings.
Well, can be here anywhere else?
We've been, obviously, our friends up in New York at the Orchard Townhouse at Natalie and
for sure.
Yeah.
These guys, we went up there recently, but... Everything else, we have our head buried in the sand in all our projects. So there could have been a million openings and I've just missed.
We love the guys at 167 Raw.
Oh, yeah,
and they just opened.
Really
yeah,
that's what I just interviewed Rodney Scott and he said the same thing.
Oh, so I love those guys.
Charleston is definitely behind them.
If they're listening, can they just tell me it's not a 5-hour wait for a table?
No, come on, guys.
Ben and Kate are hungry and they like to come in for dinner tonight.
I would wait 48 hours, but...
I love it. All right, well, special thanks again to Ben and Kate for joining us and sharing your story and your startup venture with us. We'll post a wrap-up of our show on tillitnyc.com, and we'll also send one to our email list, so get on that list. Tell everybody where they can find you guys on social.
So we're at Basic Projects. There's an underscore between those, and at Basic Kitchen, underscore between those, right?
And then Post House will just be the Post House
Inn. Oh, the Post House Inn, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget about that one. Opening April 23rd. awesome. And follow our journey on Heritage Radio and anywhere else you get your podcasts. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at We Are Opening Soon and at TillitNYC.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
This program is powered by Simplecast.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway, and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Awali, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.